bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjoe Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjoe Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is large application delivery, solving a good problem. Our guests for today's show are Carl Trebus and Mark Fabi. Carl is the Senior Vice President and Chief Technology Officer with F5 Networks, and Mark is the Vice President and Distinguished Analyst for Gartner's Networking and Communications Equipment Practice. Good morning, panel. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Have you started playing golf yet? Because it's pretty sunny outside.
Not in Seattle. I think we got about 2 more months to go before that comes.
Yeah, you still have rain, so what's going on there?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that question.
I'm saying, like, is this still raining?
It is still raining indeed. In fact, I think we got about a half an inch last night. So it's your typical Seattle spring.
Oh, definitely. All right, great. So large application delivery. We are seeing that, you know, businesses are growing while people talk recession. However, businesses still need to keep growing, and in order for them to stay competitive and also be able to manage this good problem that is growth, they need to have their applications running faster and also cheaper, and they also want to have these applications delivered to multiple devices and be able to provide a maintenance where it is self-healing. So, I mean, we are talking about everything and almost coming to a point where we're trying to control our debts and paying taxes. So do you think we are even trying to solve a problem, or are we chasing a ghost?
No, it's absolutely a problem that we're trying to solve here. And I think just like you can come up with a strategy around a health and diet regimen to stave off hopefully that ultimate day, or come up with financial strategies around tax management, you can come up with strategies, and customers have come up with strategies where they can much better implement these services and scale their networks by offloading common components of the application and IT infrastructure out actually into the network itself. So by doing that now, by putting these common elements out into the network and centralizing that functionality, the servers and the actual application infrastructure itself now can be freed up to focus on supporting the business logic and scaling the back-end needs of the businesses. And I don't know, Mark, if you care to comment on that as well.
Yeah, and I certainly concur that it is a real problem. You know, last year at Gartner we took over 1,000 calls on application performance issues and how to solve those with network technology. So the problem is real. And what jumped into my mind actually was, being Canadian, I took the healthcare analogy sort of one step further, and I really think that application delivery in effect is universal healthcare for applications. What we're trying to do is have a broadly deployed set of services that basically can respond to any application condition. So when we add a new app, it doesn't mean it's going to run perfectly, but there's going to be a set of services there that can deal with the application no matter what kind of app, what kind of device we're using, no matter where the users are connected. And so by planning ahead of time for these set of services, we're much more able to deal with the business pressures and respond to them in real time as opposed to fighting after the fact.
Yeah, I think that's a great point on the business because, you know, we talk about kind of this ideal state for what the IT infrastructure needs to be. And really the way I define that is, you know, when the infrastructure meets the needs of the business, both from a services and cost perspective. And so when you look at that, though, it's not a static, you know, fixed target. It's a moving target. And so the groups actually have to anticipate that. And it's very difficult to do that without being able to have something that, again, kind of centralizes this functionality out in front of the back ends that you're actually trying to scale out. So, so for example, you know, SSL, if you're trying to implement more secure services with your web, say, on your web tier, adding more servers to the background adds a significant amount of cost, whereas if you can offload a significant amount of that or all of that in front on a device that can, you know, service many, many servers or many, many applications, then it's much, you simplify management and you reduce cost because you can now add cheap servers orders without costly hardware. So that's just one example.
Now, when we talk about performance and that we need to be running it faster, what is the benchmark? Because, you know, it's very relative. I could say that I want to run at, like, you know, 5 miles a minute. But that could be a benchmark which is impossible, or I can try to work and start training towards it, but I never reach there. So how realistic are those benchmarks that are being set by organizations or being touted by the vendor community so that then the next level could be where they could bring out a technology which kind of promises that we will help you get closer to it? You see what I mean? I mean, are we setting up the right benchmarks here for us to say that we are literally forcing an awareness of need? Are we at a risk of that sort?
Well, I really think that it comes down to the business requirement, and it's often very clear when applications don't meet business requirements. And in fact, that's what causes a lot of those 1,000 clients to pick up the phone and call us. And so they could have made an investment in a new Oracle business application or SAP or rolled out Microsoft SharePoint. We see these large projects happen all the time. And when users don't get the performance that they expect, when the business units don't get productivity improvements that basically were put in place to justify those IT investments, then something needs to be done. And so it's not as if we're putting arbitrary numbers, as a target, as these projects roll out, but there is an expectation that users will have a reasonable level of service. And when those aren't met, then it's really clear that we need to do something about it.
Right. Yeah, and I agree. I mean, and there's real costs associated with that. When you talk to many of our customers, if they have poorly performing applications, many times their IT help desk gets pummeled. And it gets tons of questions and support issues come out of that. Plus, many times performance problems are indications of other infrastructure issues that need to be addressed. And so there's costs of not upgrading and managing those things properly. And these things can lead to outages and other things that actually create bigger costs, as Mark was alluding to, with productivity.
And I'll give you a great client example. It's from a couple of years ago, but I had a client that rolled out a major ERP system. It was a global application. Data center was in the U.S., but they had users around the globe, and they had extended some of their real-time manufacturing business processes as part of this application. And they had some locations in Asia where the performance was so bad that the users in Asia literally could not do the appropriate order entry. And being creative individuals, some of them actually found a workaround. The workaround was to pick up the phone, find someone in the U.S. that was doing a similar type of job in one of the plants there, and get the U.S. person on the phone to do the order entry for them. So here's a situation that clearly didn't meet the business objectives. You had two people being tied up with a long-distance call to do the function of what should have been, relatively easy in that new system for the person over in Asia. And so, the ripple effect there was, one of the more dramatic ones I've seen, admittedly, but this is the kind of thing that can happen when you actually don't think through the whole application delivery scenario.
Yeah, and absolutely. I mean, we see this more and more now, is that this infrastructure is becoming mission critical to kind of the real-time needs of the business. So, order entry, being able to close the books at the end of the quarter, being able to do inventory management or production management, are all become real-time kind of just-in-time delivery systems, not just from the perspective of pushing products and maintaining inventory, but also from the infrastructure that's supporting that. So outages have a much larger effect on businesses today, IT outages, that is, I think, that in the past, because of this integration and this reliance on this infrastructure. And I think Mark does a great example there of an outage, if you will.
So with this being said, can we not have more hardware thrown at it, as we have always been doing this? At what point of time do you, since you're in the market there, felt that there's an awareness of the need of something beyond just having more hardware? Because as it's becoming cheaper, yes, the floor space will be taken at a data center, but now they're coming out with these blades. So just keep throwing more blades in there. Why should you have anything else?
So when I look at it, throwing hardware at the problem is a very reactive approach. And I think, you know, that's still the phase of the market that we're in today. And it's, you know, basically the analogy I have here is that, you know, we see a problem, we put a Band-Aid on it. So, you know, we roll out, you know, a new application, our performance isn't very good, so, you know, we buy some application delivery. Or, you know, a particular branch office is suffering, so we buy some WAN optimization and so on. It's all very reactive. Now, the problem with that is, you know, in terms of new business initiatives, we're never sure whether they're going to complete properly and so on. We haven't really put in the appropriate infrastructure. So I think for the market to really evolve and become mainstream, we have to change the thinking. You know, less than 1% of the calls that we took last year were from either enterprise architects or CIOs. They were all, you know, either reactive or very at the very end of a deployment project thinking, oh, yeah, maybe we should put a little application delivery in here. That might be a good idea. But we're not getting calls about how do we build an application delivery network so we don't have to go through this harried exercise every time we change an app or upgrade an app or bring something new in. You know, so the thinking hasn't got strategic yet. And so we are throwing hardware at it, but it's not organized, it's not systematic, and we really haven't thought through the end-to-end problem. You know, so I think, you know, the market has gone from no awareness at all, which, you know, was 3-4 years ago when we got panic calls, to awareness but not strategy.
And what would it take for someone to help build that strategy? Because one is that they have been made aware of the need. However, if the pain is not enough, if you were to look at any sales strategy from a vendor standpoint, they have to aggravate the pain or at least show them that what are the ripple effects of this issue that they're facing today and heighten the pain to a point where they will be ready to, you know, write the check for this new technology, which they have not seen yet in action, but they are willing to try because there's this option of throwing more hardware is simply not helping. But let's talk about this more when we come back from the break, so please stay tuned.
Talk about his money. Call us toll-free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
CIO Decisions is the first executive IT magazine to focus on mid-sized businesses. CIO Decisions offers IT executives management strategies and advice for aligning business and IT at fast-growing mid-sized companies. Subscribe today and receive 12 monthly issues of CIO Decisions magazine at no charge to you. Visit ciodecisions.com/subscribe1.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.evol.com today. Evol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Evol delivers. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.evol.com. Visit today.
Self-leadership is an important part of corporate leadership. In the hustle and bustle world we live in, we need to be reminded that in all failures and successes, we are the common denominators. Each week, let Daniel Gutierrez help bring you the tools you need to manage self-leadership, resulting in success. Make your mark in your industry. Make sure you listen to Right Here, Right Now. Brought to you by Wachovia Bank, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Business Channel.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
Yeah.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. We were talking about the fact that we could throw some hardware on a problem which is required, which has to be solved in terms of scaling an application. And then people are being taught or we are making them aware of the need of this new technology which will help them solve most of these problems, and they will not have to be as much reactive. The fact is that this is relatively an untested or unproven technology or approach to solving these problems forever, and whenever that happens, we have to heighten that pain, or we have to see that the person who's buying or the organization that is buying, they really feel the pain to a point where they will really write the check. And also, there's another aspect of decision-making, is that when we are going to make a decision on something that is untested, that is relatively an emotional decision versus based on empirical facts. So how are we going to help these organizations make this decision appealing to the right emotions, but yet helping them reach to a point where they are not as reactive by throwing hardware?
Right. So just to back up a second, one of the trends that we see in our install base, and one of the reasons we've been able to help really bridge this application gap, if you will, between the back-end infrastructure, the app infrastructure, and the end users across the network, is the fact that once deployed, we have this rich set of features and functions that can be employed. And so typically we'll get deployed for a specific need, and then once the various groups, whether it be networking or the security or the applications team, actually starts to learn more and more about what can be offloaded, we see more and more customers actually increasing the amount of functionality that these application delivery controllers are taking on and actually providing more and more value as they do so, as they get more comfortable with the technology. I think one of the fundamental issues still, though, that kind of creates that hesitancy that the adopt the new technology isn't just kind of this nascent quality of it, but it's also the fact that the traditional IT organizations tend to be a bit siloed. That is, you tend to have your networking silo where people are focused on their layer 2, layer 3 routing and switching infrastructure and maybe VPN devices and other network-centric devices. You have your application development group that's creating your applications and they're doing so without really a good understanding or knowledge, and they can't really have a knowledge of the network that it's actually being provided across. And then many times you have a security team somewhere in the periphery trying to help manage both these items and provide policy management on top of this infrastructure. And really, the job of the ADN is to help bring all three of those things together and do so in a way that each of these groups can effectively collaborate and work together.
And we see this in our clients a lot as well. And we have sort of two pieces of recommendation to help overcome some of the siloed problems. And the first one really starts at a CIO level and is pushed down. And we call this the lifeboat strategy. And basically what that implies is that either everyone wins together or they fail together. So the idea is you're stranded in a lifeboat and either you're all going to row in the same direction or you're going to row in random directions and likely die a horrible death. And so the idea as we apply it into this space is that the application person at the end of a project can't say, oh, my app works great in the lab. If it was only for those networking folks, if they could ever figure out how to get enough bandwidth, things would be saved. And the network guy can't have the opposite, responses. If they'd only learn about how to write their application more efficiently, then everything would be fine. That kind of discussion has to stop in these complex environments we're in today. And again, starting with this concept of everybody wins or everybody fails is one way of getting the dialogue going. Now, as organizations mature over time, that leads to our second recommendation, which is a piece of research that we recently published that was titled, Your Next Key Hire Should Be an Application Delivery Architect and an Application Delivery Engineer. And that's recognizing the fact that Carl brought up here, which is that these technologies sit in between silos. They sit in between applications, servers, network, security and so on. And we need a new skill set if we're really going to take advantage of them. And I actually talked to a client just in the last week or so that actually created such a group. Now, they didn't call it an application delivery group, but that's exactly what they did. They were responsible for the care and feeding of their application delivery controller. They were writing scripts. They were figuring out how to add new features to improve the performance of the applications and so on. And so that dedicated group, which is skill sets which sort of start with application skill sets but also include good operational and network and security skills, is a fairly unique requirement. And we think organizations should be fostering that, either growing it within or attempting to hire, you know, someone with that kind of skill set from outside.
In fact, we're seeing organizations adopt, you know, Mark's recommendations here. We did a survey of a sampling of, you know, our over 20,000 customers in our customer base, just a sample of that, of course, and we saw that about 15% to date have adopted this strategy of these converged teams where, again, the network security application members are actually one team working together versus these siloed teams. And and seeing benefits by doing that because they're better able to leverage this portion, this ADN portion of their network.
The question is this the solution for everyone? And in case suppose a company wants to give a call to a vendor that we are suffering, please help. Now before they actually make that call, even try to make a decision whether they should call someone or not, would there be some sort of a diagnostics they could do to see if this type of application delivery technology or this whole solution is worth their time and effort and dollars? And if it is so, to what extent they should expect some of the benchmarks to show results for them to really go ahead with it?
Well, the first thing is there's many symptoms to this problem, but the general symptoms that customers typically feel are poor scalability, poor availability of their applications. So their web servers are having high downtimes. There's a high cost associated with updating content on their web servers. Clients are having trouble, end clients are having trouble accessing specific applications or specific data or, you know, storage in their network. There's a high cost anytime any change is required to the back-end infrastructure. So all these things are factors or symptoms of a larger problem. And the most cost-effective way to address this, again, isn't by racking up more boxes or trying to add more bandwidth to the network. It's actually trying to add more intelligence in the layer that manages these disparate applications that are being delivered out to the end user constituency, if you will. And again, like we were saying, is that we think the biggest cost benefit to doing that is working in this ADN layer of the network where you can get the biggest bang for your buck, if you will, and the largest ROI and the largest immediately measurable ROI. Typically customers now measure uptime. You get much higher availability numbers in your uptime. There's no specific numbers because those uptime numbers are different for different organizations. But you can look at such things as end user experience, how quickly you have access to your applications. Mark, I don't know if you want to jump in with some metrics here on this.
Yeah, and there are obviously sort of fairly loose averages because application environments and network environments are highly variable. But deploying this application delivery layer as part of your infrastructure, the rules of thumb that we give our clients is that typically you'll reduce the front-end CPU load in a web environment by something like 50% or more. You'll reduce bandwidth by 50% or more, and you'll improve end-user performance typically by 2 to 5 times. And so it's really a win-win scenario. We reduce the reliance on various infrastructure resources, both network and CPU. At the same time, we improve the end user performance. And Carl was right when he sort of rhymed off the symptoms that we see. And then again, they're very classic, very typical. And that's how most organizations come to the conclusion that they need to do something. And it's that, most often it's a Band-Aid because it's reactive at this point. But it's pretty consistent. If you are an organization that has, let's say a regional footprint, or certainly as you start going international and you're deploying browser-based apps, as you're moving to more centralized data repositories, which is one of the other demands that we see on enterprises these days, any of these application change functions, going to browser-based apps, moving to XML and web services, consolidating data centers, it's almost a given that you're going to experience performance issues, because performance of all these applications is tied to distance. It's a latency issue, and bandwidth can't solve that. Compute cycles can't solve that. It needs something different, and that's really what the application delivery network brings to bear here.
Yeah, we did a case study with a large web presence company that I can't mention the name of, and by deploying a pair of the F5 boxes in front of their web servers, they were able to not only reduce the, and basically we offloaded caching and compression functionality, they were not only able to reduce the number of servers that were required for their application by a third, the end user average response time went from 3 seconds to 1 second. So they had a real two-factor benefit to actually deploying this, and the cost was much less than actual the benefit. So they had an immediate ROI just based on that change in their network.
Now, we know that any technology adoption, we also see that as a change management issue, and especially when you're trying to have them understand or the adopters understand how they are going to make the best use of this technology. So when that comes, automatically we have to not only look at the cool toy that we just bought, we also have to look at the processes which will be fine-tuned to accommodate this new technology that we are putting in place, and also the people that are going to be trained and or will be using this. And will there be a rejection because of the fact that we are not needed anymore because this one cool toy is going to replace five system engineers? So you could have some of these complex issues which may surface whenever you try to introduce such new technologies. How do we handle them? First of all, what are those typical challenges that we are facing? Let's take an inventory and then see how we can best meet them so that the end result is the organization really benefits from the technology adoption and the people and the processes are fine-tuned where the best ROI is delivered. So let's talk about this when we come back from the break. So please stay tuned.
Money, money, up-to-date business and financial news. Money, money, call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.avol.com today. Avol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Avol delivers. To find out how Avol can help your company, visit www.avol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.avol, A-V-V-A-L, avol.com. Visit today.
Everyone faces conflict at home, at work, in the community, in the world. This show is about how to fix those conflicts with practical tips and techniques. Doug Knoll brings to the Internet airwaves the first of its kind, a show that teaches peaceful resolution to life's daily battles. That's Fix Your Conflicts, broadcasting live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Hey! Unveil the business of real estate investing with the Naked Investors, the bare truth about real estate investing. Join your hosts, Rosie Nieto and Pete Mendenhall, who both come from the inner world of the real estate investors clubs and seminars. With this insider's view, you get to learn what it takes to be a successful real estate investor. Join us for the Naked Investors, the bare truth about real estate investing, every Wednesday at noon Pacific. That's 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. We are talking about application delivery-related technology, which is fairly new, and we want to adopt this. So this turns out to be a change management issue. And the people and processes also have to be looked at, what strategies will work, what challenges are there, how do we meet them, and how do we make this whole thing work successfully. So first, let's take inventory of the challenges with respect to people, people and processes, because technology challenges, of course, are there. Carl?
Oh, yep. So I think the biggest challenge is training, quite frankly, because the ADN doesn't remove the functionality from the equation or from the infrastructure. It really changes the boundaries where it exists, because what it's doing now is it's moving things that classically lived back with the applications on the servers into the network infrastructure itself. And the issues there are very simple, is that the networking, you know, the people that were responsible for managing the networks were more focused on the layer 2 connectivity or the layer 3 routing protocols, right? So providing essentially that interconnect, you know, these data distribution switches, things of that nature, VPN services. So really things around accessibility to the network itself, but not involved necessarily back in interacting with the applications and portions of the applications now resident on the network. And so they're challenged now with not only understanding the network, but understanding how to provide that availability component and manage the functionality around that. Likewise, the application developers themselves now are seeing a portion of what they traditionally managed, you know, like with authentication and other, you know, and authorization and pieces like that start to migrate into the network and be centralized as part of that layer. And so they see a migration out that way. And so really for these teams to effectively to work together, first of all, you know, it's no longer acceptable in this new ADN environment to just be the guy that can just manage, you know, how to set up your subnets or your routing, because now these devices are much more involved in that. So again, it's really these boundaries. And from an organizational point of view, the silos existed because of these very, you know, well-defined layers in the network. And again, these things are blending and coming together. So really, you know, organizationally, as we were talking about earlier, the teams really need to be, you know, together under kind of one common leadership role of focusing on how all these disparate parts work together. And I know Mark touched on that a little earlier.
Yeah, and I think you hit the list. I'd written down communications and organization as well. And I think, you know, the other observation that I've had, following this market for a period of time is that, you know, in the past, siloed organizations actually were fine. You know, you could, if you knew where your users were, you know, 10 years, 15 years ago, you could, as a networking professional, you could go off and build a frame relay network, and, you know, 95, 98 times out of 100, you got it almost perfect. And on the application side, you could sort of crank out your client-server code and throw it over the wall, and things work pretty much as expected. In the world that we live in today, because of distributed computing architectures and so on, that's no longer true. We can't build the network in isolation. We have this concept that we call the five dimensions of network design, which is trying to force networking professionals to think about things beyond just connecting the dots and doing that connectivity layer. And the five dimensions are location, user, application, device, and the activity that the end user actually performs. So again, sort of understanding what people do on the network, not just where they are. And you know, so what we're seeing is the problems, in effect, are between the old silos. And when that happens, we have to change organization structure, we have to change communication patterns, because we can't solve the problems in the old way.
So would you say this has created more work for the person at the floor so that he gets frustrated because now he'll have longer evenings and less time with family? Or would you say it has reduced the amount of workload so that they start fearing the loss of job?
It's different work in my mind. I don't think anyone you know, looking at data center apps and data center networking has to fear that they're going to be out of a job. You know, if you go to most data center managers, their to-do list is, you know, 120, 150, 200% full. You know, one of the biggest issues that we hear from clients is not having enough resources to actually deal with all the required business initiatives. You know, organizations want to roll out applications more quickly. They want to improve business processes. They actually don't have the resources to do that. And so if we can change the work, you know, so the work doesn't go away, as Carl mentioned, it's, we're putting it in different places. So we have to, in some ways, change the nature of the work, you know, like those new application delivery engineering functions that we talked about earlier. That's one aspect. And then free up other resources so they're not worried about infrastructure things. Like the application team shouldn't worry about SSL and authentication and connection management, all these obscure functions that have nothing to do with business logic. We need to focus those folks on delivering new business processes and new applications. And if we can divide the labor differently, make the infrastructure more efficient and allow people to actually deliver more applications more quickly, then we have a real value proposition. So no one has to fear losing jobs. Some of those, the nature of some of those jobs will shift due to the new silos and sort of new organization here, but there's always lots to do. And by focusing on things that actually improve the business, IT is going to be much more valuable of an asset.
I think Mark touched on a great point there on efficiency, in that it significantly improves the efficiency of the organization. However, typically the needs of the business are scaling either proportional or at a faster rate than they can keep up. So there's generally never a shortage of things to do in the infrastructure. The nice thing about this ADN layer is that it like I said, improves the efficiency, but it also insulates and provides some abstraction so that with this efficiency, these people don't have to necessarily become experts in every arcane aspect of applications or networking. They can still have some buffering between them, but it makes them much more effective in managing these issues and understanding how to deploy different business apps and increase the scale of the infrastructure. So it's not going to put anyone out of a job, you know, but it's certainly going to put demands upon, you know, their knowledge and, you know, both at the network and the application layer.
How would you tweak processes when you're introducing this technology? Do you need to?
I think, again, it needs to be around organization and communication. That is, the app developers need to be more engaged with the networking guys, because decisions the applications make, the designer makes with regards to how things are authenticated, what back-end databases, for example, they talk to, you know, what's changing up front, say, in the web application, things like that that may affect security policies and other pieces in front of them, or distribution methods. The network teams need to be well aware that these changes are coming and work very closely together to make sure that the infrastructure is in place to handle and manage the needs of that application and how it's going to be distributed.
Yeah, and everyone has to be involved early on in the process. And so, you know, I'll go back to the lifeboat strategy that I talked about. That's not, you know, once the application is thrown over the wall and everyone gets together and huddles to figure out how to make it work. You know, the lifeboat starts, you know, the day a business unit executive says, we need to roll out this new business process. And so you get the application analyst and so on. Well, the networking team, the security team, the server team, everyone becomes part of that lifeboat at that point in time. And when you start having that kind of discipline, then, you know, the nature of the game really changes, because you don't fall into the traps applications will get rolled out much more efficiently, and you know, as I said, everyone will walk away a winner at that point. And that's certainly how you start. And then I think over time, that discipline gets, you know, infused into the organization. So there's certainly, you know, change in communication paths and so on, as we've talked about. And then ultimately leading to the point where, you know, your enterprise architect, you know, will think about application delivery as just a suite of services, and it becomes standard practice. So today we sort of have to force the discipline through the lifeboat strategy. Over time, this will just become a standard way of doing business.
So do we see, I mean, since the business is not going to stop growing, and how, when it becomes even crazier, do we think that this is going to be a panacea for the times to come, and we can just sit and relax?
Well, it's hard to say. You know, technology evolves and changes rapidly. But in terms of addressing the problems where they exist, and creating this kind of new layer in the network, this application tier, as we call it, it really helps solve, you know, most if not all of these scalability and challenges that we're currently seeing on the infrastructure. I mean, a few years back, you know, probably in the early 2000s, a lot of focus was placed on gigabit to the desktop, thinking bandwidth was the issue and relieving, you know, congestion and kind of these aggregation switches. And you know, that's been largely rolled out across businesses. And what's been found is that solved one small class of problem, but it didn't solve the general problem of this, you know, being able to distribute these applications out across not only that infrastructure, but potentially, you know, WAN infrastructure or wireless or you name it to a varied set of users, whether they be on mobile devices or corporate laptops. And so the challenge is actually much bigger than just saying it was a bandwidth challenge, as we found out. This solves most of those problems, again, if not all. But, you know, what will happen in the future, you know, 10 years from now, you know, it's hard to guess. But you know, we do see this as kind of a permanent fixture, if you will, in kind of the networking hierarchy of the data center.
Yeah, certainly our recommendation that enterprise seriously look at and develop a strategy to build an application delivery layer within their architecture. And, you know, the line that I often use is that, you know, today if you ask an enterprise architect what are the components of infrastructure, you know, they would rattle off, well, it's switching and routing and it's storage and the compute infrastructure, and that's sort of where they would end. 5 years from now, if you ask that question, they'll go, oh, it's switching and routing and application delivery and servers and storage. You know, it'll just be one of those things they just automatically rattle off because it becomes an integral part of the strategy of building their overall infrastructure. You know, we're not there today. Is it a panacea and we can all sort of, you know, sit back and put our feet up and have easy times? No, because, you know, even with that infrastructure, there are still lots of things to do. It's not as if we sort of drop in a box and magic happens and all our problems go away. There's still an effort that needs to take place to make this all work.
Right. There's still many opportunities, like in storage especially, to apply these same constructs that have been applied to the application side of it.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and look at the weakest link issue, because while we may have this ADN, you know, promising great strides in the way we will have the application being delivered, in the whole big scheme of things, its ROI could very well depend on some of the other aspects of infrastructure, which again we mentioned, like, you know, just before a few minutes ago, in terms of storage and other areas. What is the weakest link that we could see that we could work with and remove or strengthen for this new set of technologies to get the best benefit? We'll talk more when we come back. Please stay tuned.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Income Property Investment Talk with Peter Mosca and Dean Issa provides homeowners and investors eager to invest well in real estate the knowledge, resources, and tools necessary to generate significant wealth. Our focus will be the paradigm. Live where you want. Invest where it makes the most sense. Listen live to the brightest minds in real estate investment every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. That's Income Property Investment Talk with Peter Mosca and Dean Issa, where America learns to invest.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. We were talking about the weakest link issue, because we could have the greatest technology under the sun and working in a data center and still not being able to deliver the ROI because there may be other areas which may be causing the bottleneck. So if you were to take an inventory of the weakest links or potential weakest links that we could identify before we put in this new technology and prove that this is a success or a failure, what would they be?
Well, I think one of the big areas, one of the big problems today, especially in the data centers, is data management. And what we're seeing is, you know, just storage growth growing almost unbounded. And the folks that are chartered with managing that need tools similar to what we're doing for applications to help manage, you know, the data that's being placed in a, you know, that they're required to store and maintain. So if you look at just the type of growth that's expected, you know, today, you know, I like to kind of tie this back to the amount of power consumed by a data center. But if you look across the U.S. today, data centers consumed 61 billion kilowatt hours of electricity in 2006, and that's about a $4.5 billion cost. Okay, if we look at the basic the current trends, by 2011, 100 billion kilowatt hours at a cost of $7.5 billion U.S. dollars, it'll cost that much. And the reason that it's growing so quickly is the fact that storage is growing so fast. In fact, the main data center power consumption has doubled since 2000, and basically 50% of the growth is in storage capacity. So there's a real issue with data management out there, and we can apply the same types of applications, if you will, or the same type of, you know, abstraction, if you will, to the data to help manage it much more effectively as we do with applications. And these things will then help facilitate replication, disaster recovery, and data deduplication to help, you know, knock down these challenges. But it is one of the weak links right now in the data center strategy, and it's typically been a group that's always sat in isolation outside of kind of the core, what you'd call, you know, classic groups of the APTA guys and the networking, et cetera.
Yeah, and I was actually going to maybe expand, you know, some of the weakest link even a little bit more broadly than that. You know, if you think of the term application delivery, and this is actually when I coined that term a number of years ago, the thought was that, you know, we're going to take an application and deliver it somewhere, which is sort of the idea behind that term. And I think, you know, if you look at the products in the marketplace today, they've done a pretty good job tackling that, and, you know, hence our recommendation on building an application delivery network and layer and so on. But where we have to go is now start solving the problems that are deeper in the data center. And so, you know, if you think of the classic three-tier app architecture, we do a good job web tier out, but now we have to tackle problems in the application and database tiers. For distributed applications and web services, there's an analogous set of things that we need to do within the internals of those application service environments. And then, as Carl points out, you know, the storage environment is another component of all of those that have its challenges as well. And so, if we're going to solve the full problem, we have to continue to innovate that really looks at the entire application flow or supply chain of the application, from storage to database to app tier to distributed application services, and then all the way back out to the user. We've done a really good job from the edge of the data center out to the user. Now we have to sort of complete the challenge.
And with Web 2.0 technologies, it's putting new challenges on that data center infrastructure as well. Because what's really happening now is these large monolithic applications are now being actually broken up into smaller pieces and then distributed out to the end users in a large scale. And what that does is that kind of breaks this classic model of, this three-tier network and pushes much more of the services out into the network itself to manage the scale and the requirements, dynamics associated with that type of business environment. So, you take a look at like Amazon, who's providing this EC2 service, they're EC2, where they're providing essentially small businesses application services as well as storage in the cloud with their S-Cube services. So these are all examples of SOA architectures that break kind of this classic three-tier model of data center. And the equipment there needs to kind of be structured in order to help, manage that challenge.
Now, I have one last question. We are talking about, application delivery, and there may be one networking layer component that will help, and the storage and the application side. And individual vendors have kind of made that as their sweet spot, which they are focusing on. But they may not be as much collaborating with the other parties because, again, the weakest link issue will automatically arise. Are there any standards, benchmarks, et cetera, created for these respective areas, and are they collaborating across different areas so that it truly becomes a plug-and-play? So if I'm putting the best storage component and the best networking component and the best application delivery component, we really finally will get the best ROI we could ever get?
I think you have to break this down into pieces because the connectivity infrastructure, so the switches and routers and the VPNs and all, that's all well-defined and governed by RFCs or IEEE or, other standards bodies. And it's very easy to kind of plug these things together and get basic connectivity. The problem that we face, that the IT professionals face, is the fact that applications themselves and really aren't, there's really no standards that govern them. There's no standards necessarily that are governing database access. It's all very proprietary. What we find is that there's many different ways that app developers implement JavaScript, or we find many, many different ways that HTTP protocols, even though that is standardized, are implemented. So what we find is we actually have to be essentially this federation point, where this layer needs to be kind of this federation point that abstracts and manages a lot of these differences or these issues and isolates the people focused on managing these things from actually having to actively be involved with rooting out all these little differences and working to those. So unfortunately, there isn't any real standards happening up at that tier. Again, it just shows the value of being able to bury a lot of that or abstract that from the end people charged with managing it.
Yeah, I definitely concur there. I think the one area where the user community would benefit with some degree of standardization and cooperation would be around testing. There's such a confusing amount of information floating about the industry on whose box is faster than another box in certain environments and so on, to make any of that data basically irrelevant. And that would be one area where cooperation, some standardization would definitely help the marketplace.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I totally agree with that.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, Carl and Mark, for sharing your thoughts about how organizations can really use this new technology for application delivery and, of course, looking at other components for and also people processes to fine-tune and get the best ROI for the organization.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. You're most welcome.
Thank you again. And now, with respect to the all claims that we are making with respect to the large application delivery, they have to be tested across multiple organizations against multiple scenarios where the confidence will be built and we will be adopting it more. The impact will be pervasive if these solutions for also are competitively priced with for small and mid-sized businesses so that they can afford and try to get the value as well. And we just wish that we had a similar solution for dodging death and taxes. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjog Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.